You're listening to PX Pulse, a regular podcast bringing you fresh voices on critical issues facing HIV prevention research today.
Happy New Year and welcome to PX Pulse, AVAC's monthly podcast series to keep our partners up to date on all things HIV prevention. I'm Mitchell Warren, AVAC's director, and delighted to welcome you back this year. And this year is a remarkably exciting one. We thought we'd spend a few minutes giving you all a sense of what we're paying attention to. You know, for many years, we at AVAC spent a lot of our time watching trials finishing. So a lot of our work was about anticipating results and wondering what the implications of those trials would be. And while there is some of that in 2018, there's an enormous amount of 2018 watching new trials get up and running. I think for me, one of the most interesting and exciting things is that we will have in the field 7 large-scale efficacy trials. That's a remarkable number, unprecedented in our entire history of the epidemic. And they're enrolling 25,000 people combined, men and women, transgender individuals. It also raises amazing challenges, particularly in the context of oral PrEP. Every one of those trials is enrolling in a country where oral PrEP is taking on a different approach within the AIDS response. And that's certainly something that we at AVAC and I personally am fascinated about, how that plays out. And we'll be watching that incredibly closely. But even as those trials scale up, one of the other exciting parts in 2018 that is one of the trials that's actually going to be winding down, and that's the ECHO trial, looking at 3 different contraceptive methods and trying to understand if any of those 3 might increase the risk of acquisition. There are many opinions and many ideas about what might be happening, but the ECHO trial could really help us understand what's actually going on in the intersection between hormonal contraception and HIV acquisition. We don't know what that result will be, but we do know that we've got to spend the lion's share of 2018 preparing for a whole range of scenarios. What if one of those methods does increase risk of acquisition? What will happen in terms of family planning programs? What will happen in terms of HIV prevention programs? What will happen in terms of other clinical trials where we always want to provide women access to contraceptives? Our messages will need to change. Our programs will need to evolve. Our policies will need to be responsive to the evidence. And we all have to make that a priority for the year. But as prevention research advocates, one of the things that's really exciting about 2018 is about the intervention that may soon join the mix of things we can deliver. And that, of course, is the dapivirine vaginal ring. We've known now for 2 years that the dapivirine ring, when used correctly and consistently, provided partial protection. And it was a product that a woman could use and control herself. That is a huge advance. We will know sometime in the latter part of the year, probably September or October, if the regulatory authority provides a positive opinion of the dapivirine ring. If they do, we have yet another new option to integrate into the mix. But for me, what's important sitting here at the beginning of the year is that we don't wait for September. If the ring gets a positive opinion from the regulators, what should we be doing? And we need to be better positioned than we were with oral PrEP. When the oral PrEP results came out, when the regulatory approval came, for all of the excitement, we didn't act fast enough. And we sit here now 5 years after that, and we're still trying to get up to speed. So we need to be faster as a community to be able to understand who might want the vaginal ring, how might we deliver it, how might we help adherence to the ring use, and how might we design programs to deliver it. Those are exactly the same kinds of conversations we're having about oral PrEP still. And they're the kind of conversations we need to be having about long-acting injectable cabotegravir, which is in a clinical trial now. But the dapivirine ring allows us an opportunity to act in real time to really show the world that we know what to do with a positive clinical trial result and a positive regulatory opinion. You know, one of the other things that I find really interesting, reflecting at the end of 2017, is a lot of the conversations about this idea of combination prevention. So one of the big research results at the end of 2017 came from a study that really was looking at a community over many, many years, and it's based in the Rakai area of Uganda. And what they found were that combination prevention was actually having an impact. And that was both the combination of behavioral interventions, of voluntary medical male circumcision being scaled up, and of antiretroviral therapy being taken to scale, both for its treatment benefit as well, as we now know, for the prevention benefit. And they reported at the end of the year that there was a 42% reduction in new infections in that cohort. The challenge now is, what do we do with that information? How do we take those results from one area in Uganda and make that real all over the world? And what does combination prevention really mean? Does it mean throwing everything at everybody as an option? Or does it mean strategically providing the treatment and prevention interventions that are going to be most useful for the individual? And so it's not just duplicating and replicating Rakai. It's about understanding what was going on and about adapting what we do going forward. So there's an enormous amount of work that we are all looking forward to. And at the end of the day, one really can look at 2018 as an important benchmark in the AIDS response. You know, when we think about all of the grandiose and ambitious targets that as a community we've all endorsed, from 90-90-90 to ending this epidemic, many of those targets have a readout in 2020. We are supposed to have reached 73% of all people infected with this virus to be virally suppressed by 2020. We should have gone to less than 500,000 new infections around the world by 2020. We're supposed to have reached zero discrimination by 2020. And we've long argued at AVAC that looking at those results in 2020 is too late. So 2018 really becomes a pivotal year. Those targets have been in place for 3 years. I sit here at the beginning of the new year, and we need to know during this year whether we are even close to on track to viral suppression at 73%, at fewer than 500,000 new infections, and at zero discrimination. And if we are not on track, then we need to course correct with urgency, because that is truly the way in which we end this epidemic. So thanks for listening, and have a wonderful year.
That was Mitchell Warren, the executive director of AVAC, with our view of the year ahead in HIV prevention. In the months to come, stay tuned to PX Pulse for expanded coverage as we dig deeper into each of these issues. From what's next for the dapivirine ring, to leveraging all that we know about combination prevention, to the frontier of research in vaccine, cure, and more, PX Pulse will bring you the perspectives of leading advocates, researchers, policymakers, and others on the critical work facing HIV prevention research today.